Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
We are looking at the story of the whole Bible. Essentially, what we are doing is to see how the story connects. And we are at the beginning of our story. We have looked at the story of creation. We have looked at the story of the fall and the fallout that is in Genesis chapter 3. Now we are looking at the section of the Bible from the fall to the flood. Let us read from Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. But unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Praise the Lord. Now, we are looking at the story of the sacrifice that Cain and Abel brought to the Lord so that we can learn personal, want to learn practical, and want to learn eternal lesson. We ask ourselves this question the last time. We ask ourselves that why was Abel and his offering respected and accepted by God? And why was Cain and his offering, why was Cain and his sacrifice not respected or not accepted by God? And then the reason we are asking those questions is so that we can learn lesson and also practically apply that to our lives today. So to answer this question, we started taking a closer look at biblical concept of sacrifice. That was what we were doing last episode. And the reason is why? Why did we do that? We said because the only way a holy God can be the God of a group of sinful and fallen people, or the only way that a sinful man can have access to a holy God and not be destroyed in the process, is only through the process of sacrifice. Okay? So let us take an Old Testament and a New Testament confirmation of this. And we are going to read both of that in the book of Hebrews. So let's look at the book of Hebrews. We read chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 first. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the error of the people. So that is the commentary. That's the testimony to what we're talking about, the importance of sacrifice. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest house by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Now you can see the reason why we've read that in the book of Hebrews, a commentary of the Old Testament, a commentary of the New Testament, is for us to see that without sacrifice, without shedding of blood, there is no way back to God. Simple. We saw that in that Hebrews chapter 9, it said that the high priest cannot enter into the Holy of Holies. He does that only once. Even that once, he cannot enter without blood, without blood of sacrifice, which he offered for himself and for the error of the people. And when we come to the New Testament, he said, look, our boldness to enter into the holiest is by the blood of Jesus. So what we are saying is that without sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no way back to God. And we need to understand that this theme of sacrifice then is at the heart of the gospel. The theme of sacrifice is one theme also that runs throughout the old scripture. It is at the heart of the gospel. The theme of sacrifice is at the heart of our Christian faith. So we need to understand that there will be no relationship with God. There will be no Judaism. There will be no Christianity without sacrifice. There will be no Abraham. There will be no Moses. There will be no David. There will be no Peter. There will be no Paul. There will be no Israel. There will be no church. There will be no Old Testament. There will be no New Testament without sacrifice. The Bible is divided into Old Testament and New Testament, or Old Covenant and New Covenant. And without the shedding of blood, there is no covenant. And without a death, there is no testament. So this is very, very important for us to understand that this concept that we are dealing with, that this story of Cain and Abel brought us to this point, and this concept is absolutely key for us to understand. Now, even though this is not common to Christianity or to Judaism alone, so when we read through scriptures, or when we read through ancient history, we realize that sacrifices is a common feature of many religions of the world, both in ancient times and in modern times. Nevertheless, the sacrifice in the Old and New Testament is unique. And this unique nature and practice of sacrifice in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, differentiate Judaism and Christianity from other religions. In fact, the nature and the unique nature of the sacrifice that we have in the New Testament actually set Christianity apart. And in Exodus, when we read the book of Exodus chapter 20 going forward, and also when you read the book of Leviticus, you will see that God gives Moses detailed instruction for establishing and carrying out the sacrificial system. And you will understand that the Old Testament was built upon this sacrificial system. There was the temple, we have the priesthood, we have the Levite, and that whole system was built upon that. Obviously, Judaism came to a point where there was no more temple, there was no more priesthood, and then Judaism becomes more what they now call Talmudic Judaism, where the system was built upon the law, upon the Torah. But that was not the original Judaism. Actually, what is being practiced as Judaism today is not true Judaism, because the true Judaism that God established in the book of Exodus, and also that we read in the book of Leviticus, is actually built on this sacrificial system. And obviously, if you are following history, Israel is trying to restore that system. For them to restore the system, they have to build the temple, and then they have to establish the priesthood. And there's a whole lot of those things going on at the same time. And obviously, you know, if you follow history, that the point that the Jewish temple was built there is actually a Muslim mosque on that point. Okay, I know there's all sort of controversies as to, is it to the right, is it to the left, is it to the move? But what we are saying is that that area at the moment, there is a mosque standing on it. But we know that by revelation, we know by prophecy that that temple is going to be built. And we know that also the sacrificial system of the Jewish religion will be reestablished. But what we are saying here is that when you read the book of Exodus and when you read the book of Leviticus, you will see that God gave Moses detailed instruction. They were detailed instruction as to how to establish and carry out the sacrificial system. The temple, the detail of the temple, starting obviously with the tent of Moses, the detail of the temple was given to Moses, and God told him that he has to make sure that he built it according to the pattern that was shown him. And God also supernaturally enabled workers to be able to do the work of build the temple. And then God established the priesthood. We have the Levites, we have the priests, and we have the high priest. And this marked out and separated Israel's worship in the Old Testament from the surrounding nation. And when you read through all, we are not doing that now because we are just touching on it. When you read through Exodus and Leviticus, you will see that there are various kind of sacrifices that were to be offered. Various kind at various time and for various specific purposes. And that is very, very important for us to understand. And when you read through those portions of the scripture, you will see that in the Old Testament, there were five main type of sacrifices or offerings in the Old Testament. Let's just read through, let's just outline them. Again, understand that we are not trying to do a study on them now, but when you read through the Old Testament, these are the five main offerings or sacrifices that God outlined for the children of Israel. You have the burnt offering, you have the grain offering, you have the peace offering, you have the sin offering, and you have the trespass offering. Each of these sacrifices have specific purposes and individual elements. Now, it is very, very important for us to understand this. All right. Now, the instruction that was given for each one of these sacrifices or this offering are different. Okay, they have different purpose, and also they have individual elements. Some of them are sacrificed by animals, and some of them, they use the fruit of the field. Most of them were split into two or three portions, okay, depending on which type of sacrifice we are talking about. There is oftentimes the God's portion, and there's oftentimes the Levite and the priest portion. But some of this offering, there's also some portion for the worshippers where they actually eat out of this offering. And also, broadly speaking, you can also divide them into two. There are voluntary offerings and they are mandatory offering. Again, we are not doing a detailed study of sacrifices, but I just want us to understand, because we are going to need this as we come to the story of Cain and Abel. These offerings were performed in the temple by the priest and the Levite, usually for two major reasons. And it is important for us to understand this. There are two major reasons. Obviously, there are some secondary reasons, but there are two major reasons why these offerings are made. Most importantly and primarily is for atonement of sins. For atonement of sin, both for the community and for individuals. So that is very, very important. In fact, that is oftentimes the primary purpose for sacrifice, for atonement of sin, both for that of the nation or for that of individual. And also, secondly, it can also be done for thanksgiving, for giving thanks to God for that forgiveness of sin, and for giving thanks to God for his blessing. So we can use, people do use this sacrifice, number one, for atonement, and number two, for adoration. So in the Old Testament, we need to understand, and this is very, very important for us to understand, that in the Old Testament, sacrifice was not just for mere homage or devotion or adoration. No, the fundamental reason why the sacrificial system was established is actually fundamentally for the purpose of atonement, that the worshiper may be able to draw near, because sin has created a barrier and built a wall between us and God. The worshiper is portrayed as a sinner. So in these sacrifices, there is always a remembrance of the fact that the worshippers are sinners. Sinners under the judgment. Sinners under the wrath of God. God is holy. We are sinners. And that this worshipper is a sinful creation that is under the wrath and judgment of God, and therefore stand in the need of forgiveness, which this sacrificial system actually made possible. So the worshippers, with this consciousness of sin and judgment, seek God's favor by means of those sacrifices that God has approved. You need to understand that it is God's approved sacrifice that gets God's forgiveness, that gets God's attention, that attracts God's mercy. And this is very, very important. You don't just sacrifice anyhow. You don't just sacrifice anything. You follow the protocol that God has established in the priesthood sacrificial system. You follow it to the letter. So this worshiper in the Old Testament, they sought restoration and favor with God by the way that God himself has approved and communicated to them, obviously through the law of Moses. So, the prominent ideas that are associated with sacrifice are in two groups, and we need to understand it. The prominent ideas associated with sacrifice are in two groups. The first group is there's the idea of sin, guilt, judgment, wrath on the one hand. Then on the other hand, there is satisfaction, there is forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's expiation, reconciliation back to God. So the worshiper are aware that they are sinful, they are sinners, they are guilty before God, they are under the judgment and the wrath of God. But through the process of sacrifice, they've come to have acceptance with God. God is satisfied through that offering, and God gives forgiveness, and God gives blessing. And when we come into the New Testament, the practice of sacrifice is not any less prominent. If anything, it is more prominent. But the focus and the administration of the sacrifice now change, because the reference in the New Testament and the focus and the practice of sacrifice in the New Testament is now focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The reference is to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. Okay. But we need to understand that the concept of sacrifice is very, very prominent in the New Testament also. We will explore all this issue by the grace of God, all this issue I've touched on today and in our last episode. When we come to the relevant stage in our study, we'll go back to this study about sacrifice. Okay, now that we have laid this quick foundation about the importance and the scope of sacrifice, let us now return to the story. Let's return to our story in the couple of minutes that we have left. Let's return to our story, the story of Cain and Abel's sacrifice, because that is where we were coming from. And let's remind ourselves of the question. What was the question? The question again is, why was Abel and his sacrifice accepted? And why was Cain and his sacrifice rejected? And to answer that question, we must ask another question, which we have actually answered to all intent and purpose. So the question is, why was Abel's sacrifice accepted? Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? We need to ask ourselves another question to be able to answer that question. And the question is, what was the purpose for which Cain and Abel brought the sacrifice? Why was the need of the sacrifice? And we have just presented that. We've answered that in the past, our last episode. We've answered that just now in the first half of today's episode. And that is the fact that Cain and Abel did not bring sacrifice to God just as a mere homage, just as a mere adoration, just as a mere devotion. Now, all those things are involved, but that is not the primary reason why Cain and Abel, and indeed their parents, Adam and Eve, that is not the primary reason why they brought sacrifice to God. The reality is that just like their parent, Adam and Eve, both Cain and Abel were sinners under the wrath, under the judgment of God. They both, just like their parents, stood in need of forgiveness from God. They stood in need of reconciliation from God. So this is what their sacrifice, this is the reality, this is the motivation behind them bringing sacrifice to God. So for us to understand why one was rejected and one was accepted, we need to understand why sacrifice in the first place. What was the purpose? What was the motivation behind sacrifice? So then, the next question are then this. Did Cain's sacrifice reflect these realities? Did Abel's sacrifice reflect these realities? Did Cain's sacrifice meet God's standard to provoke forgiveness and acceptance? Did Abel's sacrifice meet God's standard to provoke forgiveness and acceptance? Because we need to understand that there is a standard and there is a right way for sacrifice that is acceptable. And God actually told us why Cain's sacrifice was rejected, and by extension, why Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And we're going to read that in Genesis chapter 4, just part A of verse 7. So let's read Genesis. Let's read Genesis chapter 4, 7a. This was after God has rejected Cain's sacrifice. God told Cain, "If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?" So what is going on here? God is saying that Cain was not accepted. Cain and his sacrifice were not accepted because he did not do well. God was saying that if you do what you do well, you will be accepted. If you had sacrificed this sacrifice and sacrificed it well, you will have been accepted. In other words, it is not enough just to sacrifice. It is not enough just to do. Indeed, we must sacrifice. Indeed, we must do, but we must do it well to be accepted. What does it mean to do something well? Is to do it according to the standard. I mean, it's just like if you are running a race. It's not enough for you to run the race. You must run the race according to the instruction, okay? You are supposed to run on your own lane. You are supposed to hand over the baton in a certain way, in a certain manner. And if you don't obey the rule, if you don't contest or compete according to the rule of the game, you will be disqualified. And God was telling Cain, you and your offering were disqualified because you did not contest according to the rule. There is a standard. There is a rule. Praise the Lord. And if you don't contest according to the rule, you will not be accepted. And that is the reason why Cain and his sacrifice was rejected. I mean, how many of us would pay a tailor because they sew our clothes? Or you will pay a mechanic because they work on our cars? No, you don't just pay them. You pay them because they sew your clothes right. You pay them because they work on your car and they did it right. They did a good job. You pay them for doing a good job, for doing the job well. And God was telling Cain here, the reason you have been rejected is because you have not sacrificed well. God rejected Cain and his sacrifice because he did not sacrifice well. He sacrificed quite all right. He did. But he did not follow God's revealed divine protocol. He did not follow God's revealed divine instruction and pattern for sacrifice. Something fundamental was wrong with Cain. Something fundamental was wrong with the offering that Cain brought. And by extension, we then understand that the reason that God accepted Abel and his sacrifice was because he sacrificed well. Abel followed divine protocol. He followed divine instruction. He followed the pattern that God has laid down for sacrifice. Something fundamental was right with Abel. Something fundamental was right with his sacrifice. I'm going to stop there today by the grace of God. We are still going to pick this up because this is important. This is important not just for us to understand the story, it's for us to learn eternal truth from this word. And if you are listening to me today, listen, there's a protocol. There is a way to God. There are no two ways. There's only one name that is given among men whereby we might be saved. And that name is Jesus. Come to him tonight or whenever you are hearing this message. Admit that you are a sinner. You stand in need of help. And that is why he has provided himself as a sacrifice so that you can be saved. I can be saved. We can be saved. Ask him to be your Lord. He will come and be your Lord, save you, and then be your Lord. And when this is all over, you will spend eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. Do it right now. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube, Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.